Hey, babies. It's the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie May. How are we feeling? Hope you're feeling good, full, grateful, full of exuberance and energy for the day. Or you're maybe just like, fuck it. I don't want to hear this uplifting bullshit. I just want some entertainment. And I'm here for all of it. I am here for all of the energy, whether you have a lot of it or none. I totally understand. I took a nap the past 3 days, actually 4 days. So I get it. Energy levels fluctuate. Sometimes you don't want a bitch motivating you. Sometimes you do. But I'm here for you. I'm here for you and you guys are here for me. I appreciate your continued support. Check out the Patreon Club, the Fun House. It is available for your viewing pleasure. I'm posting a lot of exclusive videos there. The video for this episode will be on the Patreon Club. You just go to patreon.com/JessieMayPeluso to join the Fun House. There's all different tiers. You could select whatever works for you. I appreciate the support. We also have Bong and Movie, motherfucker, coming out every Friday on my YouTube page, youtube.com/JessieMayPeluso. My last name is Sicilian. Sicilian for hairy, bitch. Is she hairy? I'll never tell. Check out Bong and Movie. Bam. New movie to watch with me every Friday. It's a movie companion episode. It's so much fucking fun. I honestly enjoy doing it. It's my favorite two things, getting high and watching movies. I'm sure you guys enjoy it as well. And it's a movie companion episode, so you just play me along with the movie, and I give you kind of my stoner's director's commentary, kind of like having me in the living room with you. Except you're not hearing my farts and you're not hearing me crunch on popcorn. So it's kind of a diluted version of me, but it's a lot of fucking fun. That's Bam, Bong and Movie. That's available on Fridays. The audio version comes out on the podcast on Fridays as well. And if you want the video companion, that's available on YouTube. All other videos, go to my Patreon page to join and see the fun fucking movies. I miss promoting shows. You know, I miss, like, telling you guys where to come see me live. I don't have any shows coming up. All of them keep getting pushed back. I saw that a bunch of my friends had to postpone their shows. Rogan was going to be in Vegas. He had to postpone that to December. So, I just don't know. I don't know what the future holds for stand-up comedy, so I'm going to continue pumping out content for you guys to get on the webs, on the worldwide webs. We also do Dr. Peluso. I am a doctor on Instagram, my Instagram story every Monday. You can get free life advice from me on my Instagram story. It's a hoot, and I actually do give really good advice because your girl's been through a lot of shit. I've been through breakups, I've been through restraining orders, I've been in war-torn countries, I've been in war-torn relationships, I've had all sorts of, you know, things in my family, I've been through trauma, I've experienced loss and grief and gains and failing and trying and succeeding, so I'm the poor girl's life coach, really. Is what it comes down to. So check out my Instagram story every Monday. If you are in need of some advice and you want a little outlook and some perspective, and I've decided to address some of the questions I can't get to on the Instagram story on the podcast. So that comes out Mondays on the Sharp Tongue Podcast. We have Dr. Peluso Mondays once in a while when I can fit it in. So a lot of shit for you guys. Dr. Peluso on Mondays, we got the regular podcast on Tuesdays, and Bong and Movie comes out on Fridays. So I'm trying to keep you entertained, keep you satiated with stuff to do while you're at home, hopefully not murdering your wife or husband or children. You know, get into that liquor stash if you need to, but keep it cute. Okay, keep it cute. Let's not get too zooted. Let's try and maintain a semblance of dignity. But if you need to get zooted once in a while, by all means, bitch. That's why marijuana's so good. That's why it's so good. You just take a small dose. Please listen to me. I know they're like, oh, reefer madness back in the day. But we realize the health benefits of this medicine. This plant is a medicine. And if you're a struggling mother or father or somebody who's stressed out with their children, You don't have to get zooted to the nines. Just microdose on a little bit of an edible, and the next thing you know, you're playing make-believe with your kids in the backyard, having a great fucking time being a present parent. And speaking of present parents, this guest is the most present, raw, real people I've ever met. We talked about drug addiction, sexuality, and being a parent. I hope you enjoy this episode with Mr. Jason Ellis.
Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beep, 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 beep. You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie Mae Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up.
This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary,
a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's going to get dirty. You might cry. You probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh. The whole point is for you to laugh, but you also might cry. I talk about my family. I talk about farts. I talk about love, loss, comedy, how hard it is to make it in this biz. I'm a fucking professional. I talk about my dog sometimes. Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's going to be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're going to get. It's raw, uncut, and funny. It's me.
Open, honest, real as it gets. Everybody welcome, Jason Ellis.
Are you drinking Waritos?
These are so good.
What flavor is that? Pina? Pineapple. Ooh, that looks delicious, man. Is that your quarantine cocktail of choice?
I like sugar, and it's got a lot in it.
I've been getting into sugar, too, man. It's dangerous. Boredom and sugar are not a good combination.
I don't care anymore. I swear to God. It's either that or crack. So I'm going to do the sugar, and I'm going to like smash my head into a wall and see what my brains look like. I'm so sick of this shit. I'm so sick of everybody telling me. You can do chlorophyll and you can't do chlorophyll. I've had enough of all of it. I'm sick of everybody and everyone needs to fuck off. And I'm drinking again. I don't care. I had red wine last night and I didn't even like it. I hated it.
Was that the first time you drank in a long time?
No, I drank last 3 days.
And what about those 3 days? How long had it been since you had a drink prior?
Like 2 weeks or something.
Okay, you're cool with drinking? Like, you know, it doesn't get out of hand?
Nah, I can get a buzz, but if it goes past buzz, I kind of get, I just feel like shit. So
yeah, 2 glasses of wine and I'm fucking done.
If it's a good wine and I really like it, I'll drink the whole bottle by myself. And that's great. But if I have another one of those bottles the next night at dinner, not good.
Yeah, man, getting old fucking sucks. I used to be able to put away like half a bottle of tequila.
I don't even want to talk about what I used to be able to put away. It's not. It used to be something I bragged about for a small amount of time in my life. And I realized when I was bragging about it, nobody thought it was impressive. So I stopped talking about it.
I feel similar to you, though. I'm fucking sick of it. I'm sick of this.
I'm supposed to go on. They want me to go on vacation. I was supposed to be on vacation. They want me to go on vacation. And I'm like, where? Where would I go? What do you want me to do?
Yeah, where the fuck are you going to go? No one's going to be there. There's not even going to be people there to work.
They're not even going to let me. I can't get a car. I can't rent a horse.
Yeah, where the fuck would you go on vacation? I want to get my butthole rubbed. The lady's not going to be there.
I need more than that. I want, yes, butthole rubbed. I want random people to rub my butthole.
Well, I want like a massage.
No, you can't have that.
Why? No,
thanks. You know what we should do? We should go to dinner. Oh, yeah.
We can't do that.
I was going to go to a baseball game this weekend. I'm lying. I've never seen that.
Have you ever gone to a baseball game? It's not that much fun, but this is just my opinion.
One time I saw it. I got it. I thought it was a good idea. I get it. I get how you would go to it. They've got beer. And when you're close, the guys that throw the ball, it's pretty impressive.
I will say out of the sports that I know, they have some of the nicest tushes I've ever seen.
Yeah, because they're allowed to be a little fat sometimes, those guys.
Yeah.
What's up with that? How do they have, I mean, is there still fat guys in baseball?
Fuck yeah, they're large, obese.
It's like police officers. How do they do that?
Maybe baseball players, when they retire, become police officers.
Oh, they kind of got that same vibe, you know?
Yeah, and then police officers still have bats. They're just smaller.
Wow.
Yeah.
We just figured out that those guys are just like fucking synergizing the shit out of each other.
Do you? Okay, I'm gonna ask you like a serious question. It's hard to with these glasses, but do you think there's something else going on besides this coronavirus, or is it just a virus and we're trying to flatten the curve per se, or is there some other shit going down?
Yeah, definitely ask me is a good idea.
I know.
I think that there definitely is a virus that you can get, and whatever it's called seems like that's what it's called.
It's called what's on your shirt. What does your shirt say? Coronavirus. I thought it said coronavirus.
I thought it says I'm a carnivorous.
Oh, okay. It's so close. I honestly thought you had a shirt that said coronavirus.
I don't even get it. I don't understand why my coffee sponsor is a meat eater. I mean, there's no meat in coffee, but...
Yeah, there's no meat in coffee. Is it caveman coffee?
Yeah.
Oh, there's meat in that coffee.
Is that what... I feel like it's because it's such a barbaric coffee company, I'm supposed to, like, murder people.
Yeah.
You want a cup of coffee? Too bad. We're going to punch you in the face.
Kettlebells, let me eat your fucking leg while you're still trying to live. Like,
while you're sipping that coffee, I'm going to be punching you in the taint, brother.
They've got saber-tooth tiger coffee. It's like, so it's tiger coffee, and I know that tigers will eat a zebra while the zebra is still alive. So it's kind of like, I've got no kettlebells, but... Let's just fucking eat somebody that's screaming for us to let go and have coffee. Not pussy coffee, though. Death coffee. Murder coffee. Looking to fucking kill and make you cry coffee.
I mean, I'm just trying to wake up. Gee, I just want to do a crossword puzzle.
I know, but if everybody's like, look, we're going to go kill some shit right now, that's pretty energizing.
It is very, you know, it does sound very energizing. It sounds like you could get a lot more done than murder. Like, murder's just the beginning of what you get done on caveman coffee.
Right. And fear, you know what I mean? When fear strikes the heart, it's like really good for waking someone up. I don't feel like it's a good feeling, but it's the fact of the matter is I might have been a little drowsy and now I'm terrified. I'm fucking awake. I'm alert. You know?
Yeah, fear is a good thing. That, you know, a lot of people say don't like overcome your fears, but some people are afraid of even just facing what they're dealing with. But on the other side of that is some pretty dope stuff if you can get through it.
Yeah. Look, I feel like I'm scared of everything.
What's your biggest fear?
I mean, now probably dying before my kids get a little older or something.
Yeah, missing out on some of that life.
Just, I don't know. They'd still be all right. They're fine. They're mum smart as fuck. They don't need me. I mean, does anybody need the mayonnaise jar open? Because fucking somebody else can do that.
You provide a lot more. You're being funny, but they need you.
I know that they're already really solid people. And if I did die, that they're not, you know, they're fighters, you know, they'll make it. Look, it's a terrible thing to think about, but that is, I've always worried about that because I've always kind of pushed. I used to do tons of drugs when I was younger. And I was like, probably going to die. People would say, man, you're probably going to die by doing that much cocaine. And then you get older and go, man, how much cocaine did I do? I'm surely going to die now, even though I don't do cocaine. And it's like, what about the meth time? And I was like, oh, yeah, I did all the meth. And then the heroin era. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Not the heroin era.
Oh, man, that was such a great time. Oh, man, that was
Can you come out with another book called I'm Awesome, The Heroin Era?
I mean, we didn't name it that. Telly fucked up. We should have named that section because in the first book, there is, the Heroin Era, it's weird. Like, I told the story as, you know, this is a bad thing. There was some bad times. I was down really low, and that's why I started smoking it. And then eventually I shot up with some hookers. It was a rock bottom moment. So that's kind of how that story was told. But at one point, sure, I did move back to Australia because I was hiding from, like, people finding out that I might be bisexual. And I was like, I'll just retire in Australia. And I got married to this chick that I didn't really like. I was just marrying her to get back at her friend that I was going out with. I went out with one for 6 years and the other one for 6 years. But anyway.
Wow.
When I started chasing the dragon, I was just chasing it in the parking lot. I found a parking lot near the beach because I used to live near the beach. I'm a sandy boy.
Yeah.
So I would chase the dragon and I would hang out in my wife's like, she had one of those little Japanese cars, like, you know, when it's kind of, if you're a big person, it's really weird to be in.
I feel like that's all cars for big people, but no, yeah.
It's accurate, and then there's like, yeah. The next one, you know what I mean? So, like, me getting in and out of it, it's like, what the fuck? And I'm like, oh. So I was doing heroin in some fucking little nutshell thing, but it was fun.
Wow. What was so fun about it? I've only smoked weed and drank copious amounts of alcohols. I've never done anything else. So enlighten me.
I never really thought about it until now, because I've always told that story to be a bad story. Dark. It's don't do it, everybody. But I mean, when I was smoking it in the car, because the first time I did it ever was in Vancouver. I smoked black tar heroin, and I'd been doing coke for a couple of days. So all I did was just like pour beer on myself, and I don't really remember much of it. But when I started smoking it in Australia, I did the on the foil, because I didn't even know. Somebody showed me that you could do it on the foil, and you get a pen, and you can with the lighter underneath the foil,
right,
and chase the dragon. So that's the only thing I knew. So I'd go to the sketchiest place in Australia to get a blowjob from a hooker, because it's $20.
That's a good deal.
Well, it, you should have seen her.
What'd she look like?
It didn't matter. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't the same, but every time I went, it was a different person.
Wow.
None of them were good. It didn't. I wasn't doing that. I was just like, drugs, pain, get, suck it. Like, and then I'm like, wait, you guys seem pretty dependent on heroin. That must be fun. Can I try it? And then I think maybe if you're having fun with your life and you're not on heroin, then maybe heroin's not that good. But if you really don't like your life and then heroin kicks in, it feels awesome.
Because it's a delineation to your norm.
You can, but it just detaches you from any of the pain. Like as soon as you do it, it's like, you know, when you do a painkiller, painkillers don't really work. It's more of a like, I feel the pain, but there's something else there that numbs whatever the real pain is. But I know that there's still pain there. When you do the heroin, like a lot of it, because a painkiller is a responsible way to do it and lets you do a lot of them, but heroin's not responsible. You never do a responsible dose.
It's so fucked up. Like the whole painkiller train is a dangerous train, and people who aren't even people who are the most straight edge people ever get hooked on opiates. So it's a slippery slope.
If you don't know and you've hurt yourself, it's super easy to get addicted. Like if you
absolutely
don't
absolutely
that doesn't know, that's like, hey, man, what are those pills you're taking? And you're like, oh, oxys. Dude, make sure you fucking take it easy on those things, because if you, like, double up one time, tomorrow's going to suck.
Like, and the rest of your life will be difficult.
Well, then there's – but in Australia, I'm not a good liar. So I never got extra painkillers. Of course I asked the doctor and said it still hurts. Can I have some more? He was like, no.
So what are the doctors – are they a little bit more do they have incentives to prescribe them there?
I think I missed out on the era of doctors that want to give you extra painkillers. I've never met a doctor. Maybe it's because I'm a skateboarder and they were always like, this dude's going to try and get drugs off me or something. But I've broken like over 50 bones. I've been to hospital. Tons and tons of times. And it has been hurt again, but I know deep down that I don't need a painkiller. But I'll say, yeah, man, still pretty painful. And he's like, well, here's some ibuprofen. And I'm like, fuck.
So you've tried it. You've tried to get it extra.
For at least the first 10 years of breaking stuff, I've said to the doctor, it's still hurting. And he said, well, you've already had your prescription of painkillers, so you can now have some 800 milligram ibuprofens. And every time they'd say that, I'd go, fuck.
You got the era of responsible doctors.
Yeah, because now I hear all these other people that are like, oh, yeah, my knee's a bit sore. And they go, oh, here's a lifetime prescription. I'm like, what are you, who the fuck? I had bones coming out of my skin, and they never gave me like more than two two things. Like, I would never get a third bottle. They're like, no fucking way.
Jason, they probably all talk to each other. They're like, yeah, Jason's on his way in. Oh man, he's gonna try and shake me down for a third bottle. I know that son of a bitch is gonna ask for a third bottle.
I believe I was profiled.
You definitely were. I think we should take a case out. I think we should. Do you think you heal quicker? Like, you've had so many broken bones. Like, do you think you heal faster? Is it harder now?
Well, I don't break shit now because I don't go as hard as I used to. I slowed down.
When's the last time you broke something?
Fuck.
It's so wild to see you with hair.
I broke my nose. I know. I don't know what to do with it this morning. It's stupid.
It grew so freaking fast.
Oh, man. That's a mess.
It's like... It's really wild. I didn't think it was real.
It's not real, you dumbass. What are you talking about?
What? Wait, how?
I glued it on.
What do you mean you glued it on? That's not real?
Nah. It's so stupid. I'm bald.
That's what I thought. I'm like, yo, what kind of vitamins is Ellis taking in fucking quarantine?
Steroids.
Wow, that's a good look,
right?
I don't know, look. Oh my god, you're like Beyonce. You're so good at your lace fronts.
I've always wanted to be like Beyonce.
Oh my god, I thought your hair was real. That's why my boyfriend said that. He goes, no, he put it on. I was like, he didn't put hair on.
I can't believe you seem like a really smart person until like 5 minutes ago. What are you talking about? I'm bald as fuck.
It's hard to tell, first of all. It's hard to tell.
I don't appreciate your, we're supposed to be friends. I fucking have videos all the time going, look how fucking bald I am. I'm going to get this shit stuck on. And then I go, it's real. And then look at you.
I honestly thought you were just shaving it because your tattoos, like you. I don't know if you've got follicles or not. There's so much going on.
I've got follicles.
I've got follicles. Oh my god! Oh wait. Now I know why. Because he showed me that photo of you. Now I know. Okay, now it makes sense.
Coming back.
Yeah, it's coming back.
How bald I originally am. Like fucking almost Elmer Fudd.
I can't be the only one who was like, this motherfucker grew his hair. He found the fountain of youth.
But I shaved my hair into it.
Yeah, you're good. You might have a career as a hairdresser coming up. You do look like a hairdresser, dude, right now. Oh my god.
I might look like one, but I sure as hell am not one. How to do it. As soon as the dude left, I just turned my hair into a steaming pile of shit. I'm like, I don't know. I haven't had hair for 20 years. I don't know what to do.
I think it's fine, though. My man's got a bald spot. He's so self-conscious about it. I'm like, it's fucking fine.
Nah, see, bald people, you don't care, but bald, when you're bald, you think everybody sees that.
That's so interesting. It's so, especially as a dude, I feel like there's this like stigma to not have all your hair. Who fucking cares? Who cares? Because there's people. Girls. Well, you don't want to fuck with them anyways. They're dumb.
I didn't want to fuck with them when I was that age either. I don't hate younger girls. They're so basic. But it's still beside the point. It's the ego, this fake ghost ego that hovers over all men to be like, some people don't think you're as cool. I'm like, I don't fucking care. Kind of do. Because I can tell when I grew this side bit out, when I went bald, I just went a little bit thin here and I shaved it. So I never even saw myself go bald.
Oh, wow.
So then when I started to grow back to stick this thing on, I was like, oh my God, I am bald as fuck now. Like I had like a little thin here. Now I'm like, it's thin as fuck all the way, little, and it's thin in the back. I'm like, fuck that.
You've got a perfect head though.
Well, I shaved my head and I had the tattoo. I never thought about it. I never thought about it until I started. And then when I grew it back, I knew that if I had the bald head haircut, I would have felt weird going out like that. Like without a hat on, I would have felt like I couldn't do it.
That's so interesting because there's motherfuckers out there with full heads of hair that are complete assholes, confident as hell. They're just confident as hell, but they're terrible people. And you're a good person. You know what I mean? It's so weird how the ego plays into people's lives.
I mean, you're a comedian. You should know. I feel like
the
thing in common with comedians is, you know, I'm pretty sure sometimes I might be one of the greatest humans that ever lived. And on the other side, I feel like I'm the most disgusting, hideous human that's ever breathed oxygen and I should die. You know, it's like two people. Because I can be secure and be like, man, I think I might be the best ever. And then half an hour later, I'm like, man, I might be the worst person ever. And I'm like, how can you live in this? What are you doing?
That's a hard, how do you sustain? Like, what keeps you balanced? What are the things in your life that provides the most balance for you?
Therapy, working out.
What kind of therapy do you do?
Well, I have a therapist that I haven't seen for a while now. You just making me realize that maybe that's why I'm starting to feel like I don't want to go to work anymore. But
you're not alone in that.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Well, then. But yeah, that. And then the things that a therapist teaches you. So I feel like, and the ayahuasca that I did as well, there's like things, medicine that I have in my head. So to me, it's like voices, you know, when I'm down, I'm tired, hungover, there's a voice way louder that sort of gets to run the day. It's like, you know, you did this bad, you did that bad. You know what? You're a piece of shit. And that voice is louder that day. So to me these days, it's like, same thing still happens. I hear those voices. I just know who they are, you know?
That's so insightful. I feel like a lot of people can relate to that shit because self-talk is such a huge part of therapy and growth as an individual, and how you talk to yourself can dictate the day. It really does.
They don't realize it. They don't realize what they're running through their head all day.
And no.
It's not, meditation told me that. Meditation told me that there was, you know, only like five or six things running around in my head at all times, just bam, bam, bam. And I'm like, dude, you're not addressing them. You're just letting them fucking attack you all day. And you wonder why you walk around miserable. Like you gotta, okay, number one, what is this one that you're thinking about? Like, let's address it. Can we fix it? Is there anything you can do? Have you done it? Are you going to do it? If you've done that and that's it, then that's it. Then get rid of it.
It really is like an assembly line of dealing with your pain. It's like, are you going to make sure that when it gets to this point that you deal with it so it doesn't break down and the whole thing, the whole project gets destroyed?
See, I feel like some people they don't want to be honest with themselves. They don't want to cause an argument. They don't want to have like a big drama or a blowout with somebody. So they just keep it in. Because they're not used to – see, the good thing about being a fuck-up is I've already kind of put my foot in so many crazy fucking – like, I'm really fucked up and been in a situation where it's like a movie where you're like, this guy is fucked. You know what I mean? Oh, my God, I'm so fucked right now. And now I'm alive. They didn't kill me. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, maybe I should just be honest with it because I feel like there's been times – like I think the average person can, if you ever had a girlfriend or if you ever had a boyfriend where you cheated and they found out, right when they found out that feeling,
oh,
where you go, oh, yeah, that to me is like, don't let anybody find out that you're bi. To me, that one's like, I cheated and I got caught. By my, like the magnitude of it is like, I got caught cheating with the dude. I'm the king and my kids are like, it's like on a scale of getting caught, the feeling of it is 1,000 times worse than cheating on your wife and getting caught. Like it's this big anxiety jump where it's like, hey man, I heard you hooked up with a transgender chick. And I'm like, nope. And then, you know, I mean, I feel like there's like I smoked like 700 packs of cigarettes in 50 seconds just from having this conversation with someone who was slightly suspicious of my sexual orientation. I'm like, it's no way to live. So
it isn't.
I'm out. It's not that bad anymore, you know, because I know I don't have to tell anybody that I wish to murder anybody. I don't want to have sex with kids or dogs or anything. So I'm pretty much clear now, you know. I'm like, what is the worst thing you want to do, Jason? I've told everybody. I tell them on the radio now, so it's not really, I can't get jumped on anymore. And that just feels awesome.
That jump is terrible.
I've ratted myself out. I'm like, meh.
That's smart, though. But it is recent for you. Ratting yourself out is only within a couple years, isn't it?
I got three relationships, the biggest ones in my life, and Katie, obviously, the last one, where we were going to break up, and she was saying the same thing as the other two, where I realized that it was me. It's my fault. You know, like,
And
that's why I went to therapy. I'd been to therapy before, but it just didn't get the right person. And then it was because of Joel Madden, because he's got money and he's got a good therapist. And I guess a lot of things happened. And Katie said, this guy really changed Joel's life. So I went and saw him, and because he's a Hollywood, he's good. He's really good.
And he might have, you know, experience in certain types of personalities. And it does. I had a therapist before. It didn't vibe with me either. And I ended up finding somebody that, you know, you're like, oh, okay, this is my person. I can be completely candid. If you can lie to your therapist, it's bad.
And pay him? What the fuck? Why would you do that?
Like, that was me in my 20s.
Just stay home, man. If you have to lie to your therapist, need your money or smoke it or something.
It is hard for a lot of people, though. You know, it's like that. The cycles we get in are they're so dictated by that self-talk. Like, and you know, I also think like you're a product of where you came from and how you were raised and how your parents talk. Cause essentially you talk to yourself how you were spoken to in a way.
Yeah.
You know, and how you were raised and the type of love that was accessible to you. And have you had like epiphanies or anything about your childhood that you think sort of were the less delightful parts or aspects?
Oh, shit. That's the most awesome question ever. I mean, look at me, for fuck's sake. Fuck. Everything they did, I do the opposite, and that's why my kids are okay. Yeah. The older my kids get, the more I'm like, oh, my God. I'm glad my father died, because I really would fly home to beat his ass if he was alive. Because when you become a parent and you realize the things that they said to you when you were a kid, some stuff I go, okay, the era, where they were from, things that happened to them, I understand that. And then there's other parts where I'm like, nah, you're just a fucking asshole. And that would never, and that's why these are the little things that make me feel good about myself, because I would never, my kids come first. They always will come first. And I would never, I mean, I think I've had anger issues and I've really tried hard to not do that to them, because I don't want that part. Because that was the one thing that my father had that I don't blame my father for. He was super aggressive, but I think that was him covering up for some other stuff. So I don't think he meant to do it. And I definitely don't think that he knew him beating people and doing stuff like that in front of me was gonna, he didn't know like there's a thing that your kid could see that and it could rub off. He didn't have any of that. None of those people had any of those theories of, hey, you know, if you act a certain way in front of your kids that they in turn can react the same. No, I never heard anybody in my family ever have a discussion about anything, but you know, is Jace gonna ride dirt bikes fast or is he not? That's pretty much the only conversation. How fast are you gonna go?
Their conversations were so different. The awareness, the self-awareness was non-existent. It's like, that's the one, not the one, but one of the greatest silver linings of this culture is that we are more open to talking about our less appealing aspects, because it makes people realize the truth and how to evolve as a human.
Yeah, I feel like I remember that when I went back when my daughter was in my ex-wife's stomach and we were and my dad's friend rolled up a cigarette and lit it in the living room. And I was like, hey, Scotty, can you not smoke in here? Because Andrea, I pointed to my wife at the time, and he goes, why? I'm like, she's pregnant, mate. And he's like, what does that mean? I'm like, did you know that cigarette smoke can affect the pregnancy? You're shitting me, Jace. You're fucking joking me. It's off. You know, he put it out straight away. It was like, you're fucking joking me. Did you hear Jay say? But this was when there was fucking CDs and color television. This was not fucking in the 1940s. This conversation happened like 2000.
Was this the year of the Spanish flu? What year was it?
But I could tell he didn't know. He really didn't know.
So crazy. My mom smoked while she was pregnant with me.
I know that made me realize because I know when I know you and I, my mom did everything. I don't think I was an accident too. So, you know, I don't blame
you. Were?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mom was 16.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I know.
Once 16? Again. 16? I couldn't even handle a Cabbage Patch doll at 16.
And my dad was 20. And I mean, my dad died when he was 53. And this is the one thing I don't hate about him. It was a child when he died. Just like I am. I like that part. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want to be a grown up. This is cool, being a dickhead. I do whatever I want.
Hell yeah. I think people need to get in touch with their inner child more.
A little bit. I mean, I just feel like God has less concern of your opinions. That's the bit that I like about the inner child. Because it's if I live my life to make you happy, I mean, maybe that's exactly what I wanted too, but odds are it's not. You know, like I do exactly what – I don't want to hurt anybody, but if it's not going to hurt anybody, I'm going to do exactly what I want.
I agree, and I sort of live that way as well. I feel very close to my inner child. I still have – and I feel like you're similar in the sense where things still amaze you a little bit. Like you still have an awe about life.
Does that mean that you get down a little bit more? Because to me – if it's really good, I'm like, whoa! And if it's down, I'm like,
yeah.
Really down, you guys. My wife's like, oh my God, you're a fucking toddler. Like, so okay, good. But I'll take it. I'll take that versus just like, oh, I mean, I got a raise. Cool.
No, check out my new Porsche.
I get a raise. I'm like, fucking, let's fucking go, let's go. Let's get bikes. Let's get guns. Let's fucking make jumps with flames and tits.
Hell yeah. That's the way to fucking live, man. Balls out. Balls that's out.
That's why I can't – this staycations. I'm like with my wife. I'm like, what about if I go to San Diego? I've already texted Tony Hawk. I'm like, I'll skateboard at Tony Hawk's ramp for a week and I'll get a house on the beach. And I'll go in the water because San Diego, they let you go in the water. And then I'll go to Tony and then I'll pretend I'm a skateboarder. And then I'm like, my wife doesn't care about Tony Hawk's ramp at all.
She's like, what?
I love her, but no girl. You would look, you're a
I don't even know what it is.
It fucking sucks. It fucking sucks. If you're not skateboarding the ramp, you're just going to be standing in a fucking warehouse with dudes.
Isn't it just plywood? Isn't it just like like arced plywood? I honestly can't picture it. I know there's like a scoop.
Arced plywood. That's what you just called a ramp. Arced plywood. Yes. Kind of. I mean, it's not even plywood. What the fuck year?
It's totally plywood. Yeah.
You're from the 80s of ramps. There's no plywood anymore. They got all this different stuff. Tony Hawk's is metal frame and like this other special stuff that's on the surface. Technical shit you don't even understand.
I bet you Tony Hawk's ramp thing is it's made out of like the inside of Air Force 2. He probably has something really cool.
Yeah, no, it can pull apart and it can be portable and stuff. He has like the most futuristic ramp of our time.
Yeah. So you guys could skate and hold hands. Well, no, you can't because it's you have to separate.
I think if you're a skateboarder, you can hold hands.
I think that should be definitely – that should be the exception to the coronavirus rule.
I've never held Tony Hawk's hand. He just made me realize that that's something that probably needs to be done.
Yeah. He looks like a very – I don't know him, but from my judgment, he looks like a man who's in touch with his feelings.
Yeah, yeah.
And he looks very kind and quiet.
Yeah.
And he looks like his hands are velvety. Just like I imagine a very soft, well moisturized hand with a nice tan.
Nah.
No?
Nah, I think he's got gristly hands.
Like man hand, like rough, like he's been climbing?
They're rough hands because he's always grabbing onto his grip tape.
Oh, yeah, the grip tape.
Day, so he's probably got callousy hands, but he's got long, he's a long, lanky guy.
Oh, okay, I can see that.
They have long fingers. They might. I don't know, man. I don't know if he's soft. I don't imagine him to be soft. But I also don't imagine him to accept me holding his hand.
I do. I imagine him accepting it with a whole heart.
I'm gonna try. I'm gonna like give him a handshake when I see him, and then just keep holding on to it. Like, come over here, Tony, and walk with him and hold his hand and see how long he like. Get off me, Alice. I'm like, dude. When was the last time you and I held hands?
Never.
When was the last time any of your mates held hands? Dudes need to do that. In Samoa, they do.
They do?
Yeah, all islanders do it.
Like how? Like adult men?
Not gay, just holding hands like, you know, when you walk with your, you know, like this thing side by side hand.
Like just hanging out with your friend, going for a walk, you hold his hand.
All the time.
I'm down for it. You know.
Me too. And they do the nose thing when they say hello to each other.
Now, I don't know about that, especially in this post-coronavirus. You better keep your snot and your amoebas away from my mouth.
Okay, where we're at now. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Fair enough. Know what I mean? But I like the idea of that.
I would esky-bro somebody. I mean, if I'm someone's butt, I'm okay with rubbing my nose on their nose.
I would do butt to butt.
Yeah, well, that's wow, check you out, fucking motherfucker. Butt to butt, who cares?
Jennifer Connelly style from Requiem for a Dream. But no dildo.
If you do scissor butt to butt, that's pretty deep.
Okay, but like I'm just going straight, kind of like a Labrador butt to like just a little wiggle. And I think our communication, we should stop talking from our mouths and start talking from our buttholes. Maybe that'll be a little bit better.
Yeah, my butthole's hideous. I don't know if I want to be in this world.
Is it? Do you have tattoos near it?
Nah, but I should. I mean, my butt cheeks are tattooed, but not my hole.
That must have been fucking painful and like ticklish painful. No. I wouldn't have been able to sit for it.
My wife has great like inner thigh ones and stuff where I feel like that's worse. And she got a crazy thick black line down the back of her leg from under her butt all the way back down to her heel.
Does that help with her migraines?
I don't know. No, I think it probably I don't know.
I love when people are like, I got this for my migraines. It's okay just to get an ear piercing. An ear piercing.
No, she got it. She's one of those people, I think maybe she's backed off a little bit because she got older, but she's can take a lot of pain. I think her tattoos always, she got them when she was young, a lot of them, and her back's like 8 tattoos over the top of each other. She just seems like somebody that doesn't flinch that shit that much.
It does. It does. I saw this really beautiful photo of her on the beach and her back tattoo. And I was like, how did she sit through that? Her pain tolerance must be through the roof.
And the guy that did it is the most painful guy out of all tattooers.
Like, does he sit deep on your skin or something?
Really heavy-handed.
Oh, God. I mean, I have, you know, you've seen, I have like sporadic cute, basic bitch tattoos.
That's kind of like, I feel like you like tattoos, you get a couple, and that's the way you should play it.
Yeah, I just kind of get them. Like, if I have an idea and it's still rolling around in my mind, you know, I travel a lot, or I used to before all this, I'll get it for like whatever town I'm in. You know, I'll just be like, oh, I kind of want to just get a tattoo. I'll get this artist stoned. Well, that's the last time I'll do that. I got a guy stoned and he tattooed this one. I don't know if you can see it. Wait, let me show you.
Wait. What's wrong with it? It looks fine.
It's a star.
Oh, that one.
But he only put 4 points on it. You know, when you draw a star, you do 5 points. He only did 4. And I was like, bro, the star is like half finished. He's like, you got me stoned. I was like, good point.
Yeah, but you were so awesome for a shooting star on your arm.
It's so corny.
Okay, I've got this great idea. It's going to be a star, right? Shooting up my arm like me.
So fucking corny. Okay, wait. I had my fans wanted to ask you some questions. You want to answer some questions from the people?
Okay.
I posted a picture of you. Oh no, you did see it because you retweeted it. Okay. Blake Sherman 5465 says, "What? This is funny. What's your favorite tattoo?"
Probably my Metallica tattoo. My first tattoo.
Where is that one? Oh God, wait. Is it on your butt cheek? Oh my God, I thought it was gonna be your butt.
No, it's not my dick. God damn it!
That's a good tattoo. How long ago was that?
Wait, 22 years ago or something.
Damn. Okay, the official.
When I came back to Australia and I showed my parents, they said, "You're gonna regret that."
You haven't.
Favorite tattoo.
Yeah, and look at you today. Parents,
stupid asses.
John X 508 says, "Any advice for a bisexual dude who's always been hyper masculine, wanting to come out?" That's a great fucking question. Wow, I think you just did, John.
That's a tough one because you know, is it worth it? You know, is it going to help you? Because I kind of did it more to help him, you know? Because did it help me? It helped me feel better about me, but I don't know if it helped everybody else's opinion of me. So you might want to watch it. I hate saying that. You should just be you and stand up for yourself. And if somebody really cares, if you really care for that person, then, yeah, you should be 100% honest with that person. If they're a friend or a girlfriend, doesn't matter, either one, you should be 100% honest. That's your real friend that you can trust. So that's the people I would talk to about it. But as of, like, just telling everybody, I don't know. It's if that makes you – because it will make you feel better. You'll be proud of yourself. But just be ready. Don't be ready to, you know, hear some negative and not react to it, because reacting to it – is that's the thing that I think is the worst part about it. Like, if someone's like, "Oh, well, I didn't know he did that." Ugh. And I'm like, "What the fuck's that mean?" You know what I mean? Like, what are you?
Right.
It's supposed, you can't. It's people are from different walks of life. Some people find dudes sucking other dudes' dicks to be really offensive.
Which is usually the ones who want to have their dick sucked by another dude.
I feel like that's kind of true, but I also feel like there's guys that think it's disgusting because they think it's disgusting. Like, I know.
Maybe.
Come on. There's some people that, out there that are just like, don't do that near me. And that's fair.
That's fine.
Yeah. But, you know, I also feel like I've seen some people look at my wife and like, "Oh, all those tattoos and, you know, like how offensive." And I'm like, "Look, should I go over there and be like, hey, motherfucker? Like, what are you looking at?" Like, I'm such a trigger looking idiot, and everybody is so, we're poking the bear all the time that I've just found that reacting to it is overrated. Like, if someone, I mean, I got kids in Beverly Hills, I go to soccer games. When Katie and I show up, they're like, "Who the fuck is it?" And I'm like, I mean, I'm a dad, so I'm entitled to be here too.
Yeah.
Which is with wife. And I'm, you know, I can just tell. And I could go, "Hey, man, the fuck you looking at?" And then my son would see me tell some rich dude. So I'm like, "Look, you know what? Everybody, yep. I might be on drugs and she is a whore." There you go.
Oh, God, I smell a sitcom. That'd be a great pilot episode. You two walking up on a soccer field.
I've seen the craziest looks where, like, a mom has just done the craziest up and down at Katie, where I'm like, no one's going to say any, just, it's fine. You're just, oh, I don't think so. Like, and I'm like, what?
Well, she goes home to Pornhub and watches Housewife gets rammed by 5 football players.
I know, right?
Hypocrisy runs thick in people who hate a lot. That's what I think. I think people who spew hatred are people who either are afraid of their own truth. You know, they're people who are maybe grossed out. A dude who might be grossed out by 2 dudes. But also, I know from a lot of my gay friends and a bunch of them who are into straight guys tell me that a lot of the straight guys that they hook up with are not so straight, and they're just scared to come out in a society where, you know, like this guy's question, he has a fear about coming out as a masculine man. In more conversations about it, I think lessens people's reactions, like what you're talking about, people going, oh, there'll always be a little bit of it. But at least if we like lessen the blow of having to come out, that emotion you were talking about earlier, where you do or say something that makes you feel like it just is a sucker punch into your emotional gut. The more you talk about it, the less that feels like all of it sort of starts to kind of level down and everybody just chills the fuck out. We all need to chill the fuck out.
I just feel like if you, let's say you don't live for another 50 years and you die tomorrow and you think that you're gay or lesbian or whatever it is, or you think you love this one person that if you date her, everyone's going to make fun of you because she's not that cool or whatever that shit is, it's your life. Like, you're going to fucking die. Maybe you do go to another place and smoke doobies with Tupac. I don't know. But right now,
I am.
Don't shit on this time by abiding to everybody else. Like, if I like dudes, I like dudes. And then that's the other thing. All the things that I've tried, because I've always sort of, I wanted to do everything at least once before I die. So there's been times where I'm like, oh, I probably definitely wouldn't like that. And I'll just do it anyway. And I've found some of those that I was dead wrong and I really liked it. So that tells me how many people out there haven't tried stuff because they're pretty sure they wouldn't like it, that missed out on certain things. Like the whole butt thing. Katie and I worked on putting things in my butt for like 6 months. It was like a finger took like 2 weeks. Like, I was working so hard on that shit. And then she showed me how to wash my butt out with this, like, the hose thing from the shower.
What?
Yeah, you put this metal thing up your butt.
Oh, yeah, the little
washes it all out. How's this for bonding? She buys this thing and tells me how to do it. I'm like, I don't understand. This sounds ridiculous. She's like, look, I'll come in. So I'm in the shower and she's outside the shower. And she's like, you put some lube on it. And you get it running like that, and then you put it up there. Go and put it up there. I'm like, just put it up there. She's like, put it up. And I'm like, okay. And it's like, whoa, my stomach filling up. And then, and a log like this long shoots out of my butt and hits the floor. And I go, it's like, shakoo. And I'm like, and she's like, and then she starts laughing, and I'm like, oh my God. Like, that's the one thing that, I mean, I feel like we bonded closer, but it was still like, I didn't ever want to show you that, you know, ever.
Oh my God. That is like one of the craziest couple stories I've ever heard.
Like, I feel like I talked about it on the radio the next day because I was like, it's so, and it was the spare bathroom. So the spare bathroom was like this cheaper, the bottom of the shower was like that plastic, so it was kind of hollow. So when the turd hit it, like, it had like a bong, like an echo to it. It was fucking, it was so bad. It was like heartbreaking for a second, but she still loves me, so I figured we're in the clear.
Who scooped it out?
Oh no, I stomped it into the drain.
Right.
It happens all the time now. Just
I don't know. Yeah. Oh, wait, for you?
Yeah, because I wash it out with, I've got the thing, and so whenever it's time to do stuff, I always just wash it out. And sometimes,
wow.
I might need to go on Amazon.
But after that instant, she used some vibrator thing on me because we finally, I finally like loosened up to let a thing go in there. And I had, like a lady, I had multiple orgasms.
Quarantine looks good on you.
No, it wasn't quarantine. This is years ago when I first started trying to butt stuff. Once that night happened where I was like, wait, I'm coming. And I'm like, and then another wave, and then another wave. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? And then after like four or five waves, then an actual jizz and another wave. And I'm like, okay, you can all call. And this is before I was actually kind of doing stuff with guys as much. This is more of like, I was just trying to get my butt working for Katie.
Right.
And that was the end of it. I'm like, I can't, if you guys want to call me gay, that's great. But I just did a no-handed seven orgasm. What did you do last night? Anybody, like, if you met a girl, any guy listening, if you met a girl and she blew you and you came seven times before you came, would you call her tomorrow?
So that's you'd it fucking save that number. You would tattoo that shit on your chest. You've got to be productive in quarantine. Where can everybody find you? I know everybody knows where to find you, but for the couple guys who want some more information.
What, the Jason L. Show, Sirius XM, channel 103. Oh, yeah, jasonellisbook.com, or you can get it on Amazon. Tully wrote it, and I just talk because that's how we go, Master Blaster.
I appreciate you so much.
So much.
I'm sure that was my microphone farting.
I was like, is that how you say goodbye to all your guests? So cute. Oh, shit.
Well, I love you, Ellis. Thanks for making time.
Thanks for having me.